as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, and on the profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. We do now, in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations.
We'll work on some technical difficulty next week. And what we're doing is, for an 8-week period of time, we're looking at church covenant. And it's kind of interesting, because what's going to happen is we're going to go way back in history, and we're going to say, hey, what's this thing all about? What? A Baptist? And I've been studying on some of the Baptists, and it's kind of interesting. Back in about 1922, Dr. George W. Truett stood on the front at the Capitol and in Washington, and as he was standing up there, it was when the Southern Baptist Convention was held in Washington, D.C. The only time I can remember that ever happening. But he began to speak and to preach, and he preached. There were Supreme Court judges, there were congressmen, there were many of the high-ranking officials, and as they were there, and as he was speaking to them at the Capitol, he said something that really kind of captured my attention, and I'd like to read it to you. He said, much of the time were Baptists pitiably along in their age-long struggle for religious liberty. We would now, as always, make our most grateful acknowledgement to any and all who came to the side of our Baptist fathers, whether early or late, in this destiny-determining struggle. But I take it that every informed man on the subject, whatever his religious faith, will be willing to pay tribute to our Baptist people as being the chief instrumentally in God's hand in winning the battle for religious liberty. I don't know that I really thought that much about this. Why do we have religious liberty in the United States? Yeah. And then what we're going to do, we're going to go back in and look. It's not always been that way, folks. Some of the most severe religious persecution happened right here in the United States. And I'll pick up on that in just a moment. But as we think about it, so therefore, you mean religious liberty happening here? Let me just kind of give you a little background behind this. Especially religious persecution occurred around 1753 to 1774. And if you read the story of the state of Virginia, you would find these ingredients inside of this. Because the congregations in that period of time, pastors were stoned, imprisoned, they were scattered abroad, they were fined, they were persecuted, they were hated and despised. Why? Because they wanted to worship free. And into the future, the next couple of weeks, you've heard about separation of church and state. Where did this come from? It actually came out of really many Baptist people who were saying, hey, look, the government is not to rule the church. And the church doesn't really rule the government either. There is a separation right here. And I really got to develop that into the future. But what I want you to capture this moment, this morning, is about a guy named James Ireland. James Island, he was one who preached the name of Jesus Christ. He was born in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1748. He was brought up in a Presbyterian church. He came to America in his young manhood, and while he was here, he was much of a poet. And as this poet, he began to rewrite one of the poems that he wrote, and he became convicted about his own sin. And therefore, he gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he followed the Lord in baptism. And right after he was baptized, he began to preach the gospel. And as he was preaching the gospel, because of his kind and his knowledge and his atmosphere here, he began to be one of Satan's number one enemies. His ministry extended over 40 years, but it was during this period of time he went to Virginia and he preached, and he was so powerful that the Episcopalian clergy got angry with him. And what they did, they had him thrown in jail. And not only did they throw him in jail, they tried to get rid of him, so they took a keg of gunpowder and put under the jail to blow up the jail to kill the preacher. But what happened when it blew it up, it tore up more of the jail than it affected the pastor. But it also, these guys, that didn't get him. So they started burning sulfur outside of his window, trying to suffocate him with the fumes of burning brimstone. When that didn't get him, they bribed a doctor to put poison in some of his medicine because he had a fever. And when that didn't get him, well, the jailer who owned this, the jailer there owned a tavern, and many times that jailer would go and get some of the drunks and some of the thugs out of the bar there, take him to the prison, and let them just beat him down and then urinate. I know that's ugly, but only in his face. But yet, it was right here. This man stayed faithful to the Word. And as he stayed faithful to the Word, he would even preach from the jail. And what these religious leaders, they wanted him down and out. But the reverse happened. Because he stood so faithful in the Word of God, many of the political leaders and the leaders of this community, they started following Jesus Christ. As a result, he wrote many letters, and out of the letters that he wrote in prison, he would sign it, "From my palace in Culpeper." And so from jail, he would write this. Now, so what are we doing? I want to give you just a little bit that says the Baptist faith, the Baptist people for a long time have stood for what has been right. Stood for freedom. In fact, when you read the history of the American Revolution, you will find no mention of any Baptists with the Loyalists, those who followed England. They all supported the freedom of our country. So what do? We as a group of people, we begin to band together, and we start studying a church covenant. And inside of this church covenant, we begin to look at it. What drew people together? What bound people together? How could we, as a group of people right here, how could we come together and said, "Yes, I will agree and I will move forward"? Just to give you a little bit of flavor of this, in our Southern Baptist literature today, it's because we are mindful of protecting the life of the unborn. And all of our literature that went across the country and really in many parts of the world, you will find the writings today about standing up and protecting the human dignity of life. And saying that abortion is wrong. And what God says is that He is protecting life. That's what we as Baptists are standing up for, that we protect life. And that's what we studied in our Sunday school this morning. We had "hear no evil, speak no evil, and see no evil" there this morning, and they were all sitting together. But I won't mention those three people, because y'all might be able to pick out Arnie and Sherry and Frank. So I'm not going to tell you who they were. But they got this thing rolling inside of this thing. What are you saying? I'm saying, why can we not, as a body of believers, band together and say, we do believe these things? And so, the second paragraph, found in your church covenant, that we are looking at, says these words. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of the church in knowledge, in holiness, in comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinance, discipline, and doctrines, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all nations. Second paragraph. Is that something you can agree with? Is that something that you could put your life behind, believing these words? But I got to ask you a question. What is the church? What is the church? What do you think? Is the church a building? No. Is the church a denomination? Is the church of an organization governed by a constitution and bylaws? Is the church clergy? Is the church its people? What is the church? It's the believers. It's the believers. It's the body of Christ. And so therefore, Baptists are part, historically, we've been known as the believers' church. And so what do Baptists believe? Baptists believe that only born-again, baptized believers can join into a covenant. So as we think about that, in one sense of the word, there are believers all over the world who have been born again. However, we believe that the local church represents the body of Christ throughout the world. What does that mean? That means that the church, when we think about the church, it is a word, it is a verb. It shows action. And I'd just like to pick out three words. Summarizing, moving forward, we're a body, we're joining together, we're people who stand together, who can say, yes, this is what we stand for, this is how we will live our life. I'd like to pick out three words out of this part of the covenant. Three words are, number one, strive, two is promote, and three is sustain. I hadn't got to the bulletin yet, so that's not in there yet. What does this mean? Strive means to make great effort to obtain something. When you become a part of a Baptist church, you don't join the church to sit there. You're striving, you're moving, you're obtaining, you're fighting, you're struggling, you're moving forward. There's an old song that used to be called Onward Christian Soldiers. I had that as one of them, as an alternative that we might sing today. But onward Christian soldiers mean we're going to join together, we're going to band together, we're going to strive. And then it says in this advancement in knowledge, holiness, and comfort. We understand knowledge. Let's capture the knowledge of the Scripture. We understand a little bit of holiness. We dealt with that for several weeks. But what about comfort? The word comfort. The word comfort comes from an old word that is made up of two. First of all, it's made up of the word fort, which means fortress, strength, fortify. And then the word com means with. So comfort means strong together, united we stand. So when we start talking about striving together, we're talking about one united body. Secondly, though, the word promote. The word promote means we are going to advance. We're going to move forward. Let me give you a scripture. A scripture found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." If I would walk up to you and say, "Are you a baby? Are you a man?" What would you say? If I walked up to you and said, in light of the Scripture, are you a baby? Are you a man? Boy, I know what our pride would say. I'm a man. Right? Do you know the difference between good and evil? Can you discern that? Can you live that? Has your senses been trained? Have you captured that? Can you tell what is right? Can you tell what is wrong? Do you have that sense that you could now lead a group of people? Maybe your kids, maybe your family, maybe your neighbor. Are you strong enough then to say, hey, look, this is right and this is wrong. This is what God says. This is how we should live. Or do you back up and say, let me call the preacher. Hey, what about this? You know, if you stay a babe all your life, you're not going to glorify God the way He wants you to. What He wants you to is to become strong in the Word. Strive. Progress. Fortify. Promote. Eat solid food. Knowing the Word of God. And then the third word there is sustain. Sustain means we are to grow and sustain the growth. Four areas in which we are to sustain. And is the first area is that of worship. And then the ordinances of the Lord's Supper and baptism. And then discipline, standing with ethical standards. And then doctrine, because experience is essential, but doctrine sustains. What do you got that's helping you to grow? What have you got that's moving you forward? If I were to ask you, are you the same spiritually today than you were maybe 2 months ago? Are you the same today than maybe you were 6 months ago? I heard about a school teacher got fired. And she got fired after 25 years. And why did she get fired? Because they said she didn't teach for 25 years. She taught 1 year 25 times. She didn't step up, didn't grow with the kids, didn't learn, didn't share. Hey, have you been a Christian for 25 years? Or have you been a Christian for 1 year 25 times? God wants us to step up. He wants us to mature. He wants us to know and be able to discern good and evil. And the only way you're going to know and discern good and evil is to get in and to grow. Well, you might say, how can I grow? Let me give you 12 principles here of how to grow. Because the Scripture says that it teaches us that every child of God should grow spiritually. Are you growing? Okay. If reading a chapter of God's Word is a 12-ounce T-bone steak, medium rare, cooked on the coals, with a little bit of fat trimmed around it, and made anybody hungry yet? If one chapter is a T-bone steak like that, is anybody full this morning? Is anybody overindulged this morning? Have you so ate so much of the Word of God that you feel stuffed? That's what we're talking about. We're talking about growth and grace. Move beyond. Look up. Grow. So these principles, and I'm going to hit them fast at you. Principle number one is be sure you're born again. You cannot grow in Christ if you're not born again. And the Lord Jesus said, you must be born again. In fact, in John 3:3, He says, truly, truly. Hey, notice what He did. Use that form of teaching right there. Jesus didn't say, truly I say unto you. What did He say? Truly, truly. In other words, not just one, Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So if you want that 12-ounce T-bone steak, medium rare, I know some of you going to want, give it to me well done. All right, I'll take that. In our Sunday school, Claire Frank was talking about a guy eating it raw. I'm not recommending that. But anyhow, we're looking at it right here. Are you born again? 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. This morning, are you struggling? Do you know that you know that you know that you know you have eternal life? So if you're going to grow, number one, you got to be born again. Number two, though, you got to unite with one of the Lord's churches and go to work for Him. Christ loved His church. You know what? Christ didn't die for all the good things that are being done outside of the church. The scripture says that Jesus Christ died for the church. And you cannot live as good a Christian life outside of the church as you can live inside of it. But a lot of people feel that they can. But the scripture teaches us that in Galatians 2:20 that He loved me and gave Himself for me. In Ephesians 5:25, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself up for her. And then in Matthew 6:33, it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What? That's right. You need to get a hold of a church that teaches the Word of God, join up and go to work. Not just join up to hear and be fed, but join up and go to work. And by the way, I wish you could have seen Danny. 6'5". I don't know how tall he is, but I tell you what, he weighed more yesterday than he had in months because he was drowned with the water. And so going to work sometimes means you're going to get wet. Let me let you on in a little secret yesterday, okay? This is a secret. This is for free. Yesterday it was pouring down raining, so we made a decision that we were going to fast track people through the church, through here yesterday. And so what that means is, under our normal situation, every person that comes through here, we pray for them. But yesterday we made the decision, because of the weather and all things considered, we said, okay, what we're going to do, we're just going to set up our tables, and anybody that wants prayer, y'all go to them before you go get your food. You know what happened yesterday? They did what, Don?
94% went to that prayer.
Did you hear that? 90% wanted the prayer. That was more important than the food. That's what we're talking about, growing. And people praying. And coming together and say, this is worthwhile. While Danny and Joy was out there getting drowned in the rain, these people were in here praying. And so these things are happening together. Number three, you need to cultivate your devotional life through prayer and Bible study. The Word of God is alive for us. Read it daily. Read it through. Read it book by book. Read it by subject. Read God's Word. Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Romans 10:17 says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourselves to God as a workman does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. Take on the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God. My soul! That's what He's wanting us to do. Be in the Word and be in prayer. Because when you pray, God hears you. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. And then He goes on and teaches us that we cannot grow spiritually if we do not have a devotional life. Listen, folks, I go so far to say, if all you get on is Sunday morning, you're stunted. If all you get is what you get on Sunday morning, your spiritual growth with God is stunted. What He wants you to do is to have a time with Him in prayer. and reading of God's Word. That's how you grow. And that's the way He wants us to move forward. Number four, He wants us to be a part of a church fellowship, a Christian fellowship. Let many of your closest friends be Christians. Visit their homes and invite them. And if you don't know how to do that, invite your pastor over to your house to eat with you. Okay? Yeah! T-bone steak with fat around the edges, medium rare, with a baked potato. Hey, look! Your pastor will show you how to eat. But you know what happens? Many times, we don't invite people over to our houses. You don't understand, preacher. My house is not clean. I didn't come there to look at the house. I came there to eat. Okay? You can learn far more about somebody across from the table than you ever will just standing around here. There's something about it. Invite people over to your house. Well, I'm not accustomed to that. We as Americans, we don't do that anymore. Well, wait a minute. That's what He's telling us to do. In fact, in Psalm 55, verse 14, we who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throne. Acts 2:42 says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles, teaching and fellowship, breaking bread and prayer, and moving from house to house. Wow. If you want to go to the next step, invite Christian people into your house. And if you're going to have friends, you got to what?
Be a
friend. And if you don't want a full-fledged meal, invite the preacher over for pecan pie. He'll come for that just as quick as he'll come for a T-bone steak. And so will your neighbors. So getting these things together, make Christian fellowship. Number five, separate yourself from the world. We are in the world, but we're not a part of the world. Let us separate ourselves from everything that's in the world, everything that would hinder the work of Christ. And as long as we hold on to earthly, worldly things, we cannot grow spiritually. Oh! Isn't it amazing that I can say a few words right here and get some people so excited? And then I can say, oh, love one another, and they sit there? What do you mean? Roll Tide!
Roll Tide.
Oh, see what I'm talking about? Man, Chris woke up! Go God! Okay, now we're catching on. All right. And so we're looking at this. And listen, folks, you can share the gospel just like that. Man, we were walking through. They were driving through yesterday, and one window was down. And Letta said, hey, preacher. I said, how you doing? I said, I'm so glad to see you. I said, let me tell you, Jesus Christ came into my heart about 50 years ago, and He's been with me, and He hadn't left me. He said, are you a Christian? Is Jesus in your heart? And one lady said, yeah, I am. What about you? Yeah, I am. What about the lady in the back? She says, oh, yes, she's a Christian too. I said, amen. You're my sisters in Christ. See you next time. Is it that easy? Yeah. Somebody said, I don't know how to share my faith with somebody. I said, have you been saved? Yeah. How are you saved? And they told me, that's all you got to tell them. Isn't that amazing? We try to make things difficult. But look, we got to separate ourselves from the world so that we can begin to capture these things. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers. Verse 17 says, come out from the midst and be separate. Hebrews 12:1 says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is before us. Hey, listen, folks. If anyone loves the world, listen to this. This is 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I don't know how to be any plainer, but it went on and said, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Are you telling me that there are enemies of God who goes to Baptist churches? And I'm telling you, yes. Because there are many people who will come and try to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And in the vernacular, it ain't going to happen. Jesus said it like this. He said, either you're for me or you're against me. That's the only two camps. Either you're for me or you're against. Love the world, hate God. Love God, hate the world. Whoa, you mean I got to do that? Yeah, if you're going to grow. Number six says, use and cultivate your talents for the Lord. Every Christian has abilities which God can use for him. Can you speak? Use it for God. Can you sing? Use it for God. Can you make money? Use it for God. Can you build? Use it for God. Can you organize? Use it for God. Can you teach? Use it for God. Dedicate yourself to Jesus Christ. Dedicate who you are, where you are. Make it all for Him. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body in Christ Jesus. So, we're one body. Whatever God gave you, use it. Number seven, read books and other Christian literature. Every home should have religious books in it. Oh, we got a religious book. Where is it? Oh, it's over here on the table. And you go over there and you pick it up and you dust it off. You know what I'm talking about? What else you got to read? Oh, man, we got Sports Illustrated. What else you got? Oh, man, I had one at the house there with this big old book. And it was on my son walked in and said, wow. It said, boy, his eyes caught that. His eyes didn't catch the Bible that was sitting right by it. His eyes caught that big book, you know, that was out there. Hey, look, you can have some big books, but have things to read that are religious in nature. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Scripture says in Matthew 6:22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then, if your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? What are you doing? Your eyes, what are you letting in here? Are you letting light? Darkness. Number eight, be honest toward God in use of your money. Every Christian's income belongs to God. I always like to use this illustration, and I always like to pick on somebody. Well, maybe not today. What do you own that death and taxes cannot take away? What? Yeah, that's the next tab. What do you own here on earth that death and taxes cannot take away? The answer is, on here on this earth, we don't own nothing. God owns it all. I have somebody in this church that likes to embarrass me. I walk up to the crucifix, hey, that guy, he's rich over there. He's one of them Gillises. He's rich. And I said, yeah. I said, yeah, I am rich. And I said, my father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And he also owns the hills too. You know what? I'm going to inherit what my father has. And you know what the scripture says? He owns it all. And guess who's going to inherit part of that? Me. So if I walk up to you and say, hey, Wendy, are you rich? And you're going to say, what? Yeah, there you go. We are. Because it's not how many zeros is behind the one in your bank account. It's what you are with Jesus Christ. That's what makes you rich. And so he does that right here. And he brings all these things together. And so therefore, the earth is the Lord and all it contains, the world and all those that dwell in it. But 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each one must do just as he purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So be honest. Just be honest. Number 9, exercise self-control. Satan is seeking to hinder Christians' lives and their work through jealousy, ill temper, selfishness. Sometimes in the church you get bossy people. Or you get non-cooperative people. That's not what God wants. God, James chapter 4 verse 6 says, therefore, God is opposed to the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. Exercise self-control. Number 10, seek the counsel and help of your pastor. He can be a best friend, especially when you got pecan pies. He can be one of your best friends. When you get in trouble, go to him, talk to him. I can tell you this. In the church, we're blessed. Michael is a compassionate person. And if you want somebody to talk to, let me highly recommend Michael. He really does have a heart for counseling. If you want somebody that just says, this is what God says, I'll listen to you. But Dawn, I'm going to tell you, this is what God says, right? Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. I will love you, and I will care for you, and I will try to guide you to the very best my heart can. God's brought two people here that loves every one of us, loves every one of you. And so therefore, when you need some help, reach out. Reach out, because we are here to help you. In fact, Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. Did you know that the preacher is a gift to the congregation? He really is. He really is. So, seek his counsel. Number 11, we're getting close to the end here. Live for Christ one day at a time. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Live for him one day at a time. Live for him 1 minute at a time. Live for him 1 hour at a time. Live for him 24 hours a day. But when you mess up, and you will mess up, confess up and get up. Alright? When you mess up, confess up and get up. Because that's the difference between a believer that's growing and one that's not. Many people, they let some roadblock hit them and they're down and they said, I'm not going back to church. And I had a neighbor that lived his whole life because he hit one block and he said, I'll never go back to church, and he never did. That's not growth. That's not maturity. Live it one day at a time. The scripture says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:19. So what do we do? Peter denied the Lord. He was God's spokesman. He denied the Lord 3 times, yet he turned around and made one of the greatest preachers that ever lived on the face of the earth. So get up, get right, and get on. Number 12, and this is the last one. Win others to Christ. The greatest work in the world is soul winning. Every Christian can and should bring others to the Savior. Let me put it like this. If all you're worried about is getting on the back road of heaven, and you're not worried about somebody else getting into heaven, you're probably not going to heaven. Let me say that again. If all you're worried about is just you getting on the back row in heaven and you're not worried about anybody else going to heaven, you're probably not going. The Bible teaches us that we are to win other people. Every Christian can and should bring others. I can make somebody so embarrassed this morning. And I could ask them, would you please come up here and tell me how Christ came into your life? And you know what they would? They'd come up here, they'd turn red, their blood would be running, the adrenaline would be flowing, and they'd look at me, and they would get it out of their mouth how that Jesus Christ came into their life. And did you know somebody else could hear that person right there that's scared to death, adrenaline flowing, standing in front of everybody, red because they're standing in front of everybody and they don't like talking in front, but they could hear what happened to them and get saved. You have what it takes. Use it. Use it. Tell people what Christ did for you. Dedicate yourself. Pray for lost people. Do you have a list that you pray for that has lost people's names on it? Because you know what's happened sometimes? Out of sight, out of mind. But if you really want to see somebody saved, put their name down, regularly go to that list, look at it, and the Holy Spirit will bring it about and make the intensity. And if God gives you the opportunity to share with that person, share. If He doesn't give you the opportunity to share with that person, you're not under that obligation. But if He does, maybe God, because of your prayer, will bring somebody else into their path. Lead them to the Lord. Pray for the lost. Dedicate yourself as God leads you. Talk to them about their spiritual needs, about your own salvation. Use the Bible to talk to them. Pray with them. Lead them. Let them pray themselves. Because the Scripture says this in Psalm 126, verse 5 and 6. They that sow in tears and reap in joy, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Wow. If you go weeping, broken from a heart, sharing precious seed, doubtless, no doubt, many will come. You'll come, and you'll bring your sheaves with them. Then I'm going to add one little flavor right here. After you lead them to the Lord, take on the responsibility to help them grow. Okay? That's where many of us in the Baptist churches have fallen down. That person who led them to the Lord didn't stay with them till they were strong enough to eat meat. They let them stay on milk. Let's join up and do that. Okay? You with me? Now, are you willing to join up to all that? Can you allow those 12 principles in your life? Today we're not opening up the door of the church for membership. As I shared with you, it's going to be 6 or 8 weeks before we open up the door. Because I want you to know what you believe, why you believe. And I want your heart to be right with God. And I want you to be willing to say, I want to be a part of that group of people. But what we are doing is open up the door. Anybody that would like to give their life to Jesus Christ and be saved, we're going to invite you down. I'm going to be standing right down here on the front row. You just come and sit with me. And I'll share with you how Jesus came into my life. And I'll share with you what God's Word says about being born again. This morning, we'll do that right now. In fact, we'll do that. And we'll be excited about that. The prayer altar is going to be open. Because any time a group of people like this come together, and they need a time of prayer, they may... In fact, somebody over there, go move that thing, okay? And move that out of the way, because that might hinder somebody from praying. Just sit over here on the platform here, and that'll be fine. Now that bench is clear. It's open. It's ready. This one's open and ready. The front row's open and ready. Wow. It's time for us to do business. Let's stand together and pray. Lord Jesus, as we come before You this morning, we come excited Because, Lord, we're not going to be a runt. We're not going to be stunted. We're not going to be a dwarf. God, we're going to get with the plan, and we're going to grow. And Father, we're going to come off milk, and we're going to start eating meat so that you can use us the way you intended us to be. Father, I pray that each one of us will review these avenues for growth and find out, and we will say within ourselves, yes, I will. We shall, yes, I will. And today, Lord, let it be a landmark that a group of people in this church right here, Lord, is going to move away from just sipping on the milk, having a little cereal in it. Lord, they're going for the real meat. And then, God, we know you're going to bless them. And Father, right now, I pray that you will burn it on the heart of those who are here about some lost people. And Father, they'll put it on a list. They'll pray about it at least weekly, maybe daily. They'll pray about it until that person comes to know you as Lord and Savior. We will not give up. We will not shut up. We will confess up and we will get up. And we're going to see God lifted up. So Lord, this morning, it's fresh, it's new, it's yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Troy, there you are, my friend. He's the leader of our worship in the invitation.